You are listening to Dauber Prospects Radio, episode 24. We are going to break down the entire first round of the NHL draft, and Peter catches up with Steve Kornianos from The Draft Analyst. So let's get started. Hey everybody, Paul Zwombeck here. Welcome to episode 24 of Dauber Prospects Radio, the best and only fantasy hockey program dedicated to hockey prospects. The DPR show is produced every other week for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at dauberprospects.com. Come back often and feel free to subscribe to our show on iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter at @DPR_show. I am with my co-host Peter Harling, managing editor of dauberprospects.com, who is in Chicago for the entire draft weekend. Peter, how was the first round?
Oh, it was pretty awesome. It's a really amazing experience. I went last year as well, and it's just a lot of fun. Getting to meet a lot of people, talk to some GMs, and be right in the thick of it as it all unfolds, right? It was a pretty neat night.
And a ton of famous celebrity hockey players just walking around the draft floor. It's kind of cool. You took a snap on your Twitter, and it was Mr. Wayne Gretzky just walked right by you.
Yeah, it was pretty hard not to say hello, but he looked like he was going to get ready for the draft, so and I didn't really have anything to say. Just, hi, you're awesome. I just wanted to say hi.
Yeah.
So I let him go.
Especially with right now where everybody, all the guys that we grew up watching are now becoming GMs and presidents and advisors and stuff, so there's so many like big time Hall of Fame players that are just walking around, so yeah, it's got to be tempting to be like, hi Steve Yzerman.
Yeah, but even the people that are, you know, on TV now, Darren Dreger walks by. This was like around pick 21 or something like that, and I was like, hey Dreger, where's all the trades? And he just kind of shrugged his shoulders like, nothing's happened. There'll be some tomorrow though. We'll see some tomorrow. And then, like, literally 2 minutes later, Gary Bettman announced a trade.
Man, that's hilarious.
It was pretty funny. So then he walked by again later, and we kind of called him out. I was like, hey, you said no trades till tomorrow. There's been two. So that was had a little fun with Drags there. That was good.
Nice. Awesome.
Let's get into the draft.
Yeah. First overall, the New Jersey Devils walk up and select Nico Hischier. How surprised were you?
Only a little. I mean, not very. I feel a little bit bad for Patrick. I mean, he's been ranked number one pretty much for like two years now for this draft. And then to not go first overall, that's got to be an onion in the ointment, right? It's got to sting a little bit. I'm sure he feels jaded too because, he's, you know, you got to throw your hands up like, that guy was injured.
Yeah, it's gotta be tough because there's not much you could do. Yeah, there's not much you could do about it. Yeah, you can stay healthy, but no one's going out there trying to get hurt. So by all means, it's not really his fault for getting hurt. Hischier though climbed the tower big time, and I think he deserved to be number one. A lot of us had him ranked first. I know you had him ranked first as well to be the best prospect. So. Surprised, yes, a little, because the media jumped on Patrick and stuck with him pretty much the entire year, but his year kind of deserves it.
Yeah, and I our writer, Kevin Wickersham, he's with me here in Chicago, and we were talking at the draft about who's going to go first, right, as things were about to start, and we agreed that Hischier would be the better pick for New Jersey. Their fans have kind of been long suffering with defensive first teams, and they don't have Marty Brodeur as their goalie anymore, and they don't have Stevens and Niedermeyer and Rafalski patrolling their blue line, so they don't need to play to their strengths, which were those players. So they can, now is when they're going to establish themselves a new identity, and I think they're taking Hischier over Patrick shows that, you know, let's sell some tickets here. Let's get some electric players. Let's create a little offense. Have a little fun. Let's give our fans something that they'll want to come and see. You know, winning is great. It's hard to argue with winning, and that's what they did with their defense first mentality. But you know, let's light the lamp a few times. See how that goes. So I thought that was a good pick.
Yeah, and Ray Sherrill's kind of showing that he's bringing in some pretty top talent like Taylor Hall last year. They brought him in and got rid of Adam Larson. So he's definitely building a more exciting team, and I think it's going to really show when Nico Hischier takes to the ice. Will you be taking him first overall with a first overall pick in fantasy?
Yeah. I had Patrick ranked first for my NHL rankings and Hischier first for the fantasy rankings. And we talked about the differences last week on our last podcast. So for fantasy, yeah, even if Patrick went first, I would have taken Hischier first in the fantasy draft.
Yeah, I agree. I was putting Hischier at the top no matter where he went. Let's go to number two, Philadelphia. Yes, Nolan Patrick went to Philadelphia. Ronna Hextall picked another Brandon Wheat Kings because he's from Brandon. So, of course, I think he's picked like five or six now since he's been with Philadelphia. So, yeah, that's pretty crazy. All right, to the third spot, Dallas walked up to the podium and picked Miro Heiskanen. And then Colorado followed up and said, all right, we knew we were getting one of these two defensemen. We'll take Cale Makar. Do you think that's the way it should have been played out?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the way me and the Hockey Prospect guys saw it shaken down. We were talking before the draft, and yeah, they said, you know, maybe Cody Glass, maybe Casey Mittelstadt. Those would have been fine choices too, but I think with the premium on defense that there is in the NHL and the way that these two guys can carry the puck and transition it, if you want to get a player like that, you got to draft him. So, and there really isn't a lot of other players in the caliber of these four that can do what these top four picks can do. So not really surprised at all, no.
Yeah, it was kind of a 1-2 top tier, 1-2 just a tier below, and then like from 5 to like 13, 14, 15, it could go even bigger of a tier. There's kind of, you could go any which way and you couldn't be like, well, I don't know if that was a good pick. So yeah, the top four were definitely kind of set in stone that they were the four. It just depended on the favoritism for the GMs. All right, and then we move to five. Vancouver's basically the Sedin predecessor, Elias Pettersson, is going to fill in for them once they kind of retire, and he's going to be a great centerman.
Yeah, our Canucks writer Cam Robinson must have been really happy with his pick. He has been tooting this player's horn all year. He picked him in the mock draft that we did a few months ago for the Canucks. He has the potential to have like some of the highest upside in the draft, but you're going to have to be patient. He's thin as a rail, but he's got probably the best hands in the draft. He's a few years away, though, so you're going to have to stash him on your roster if you want to draft him and hope that it pays off, but it's not a long shot.
He's already going out for dinner with the Sedins, so he's going to fit right into the Canucks plan, definitely.
Yeah.
All right, let's move to number six. The Vegas Golden Knights make their first NHL entry draft selection, and we're going to go through their three selections in this little segment. Cody Glass, their centerman. Are you happy with that pick?
Yeah, he's not the biggest center in the draft, but he's a really good playmaker. He can distribute the puck very well. He does a lot of things really well. He was a highly ranked prospect. I think he's something that Vegas can kind of build around. So, yeah, they should be happy with that pick. I thought that was really good value where they got him. I had him ranked higher.
Oh, excellent. Where were you ranking him?
I wasn't prepared for that. I think I had him fifth.
Yeah, so you would have taken him over Elias Pettersson?
Yeah.
All right, and he is a small guy. He's going to grow into his body when he gets working with the NHL mentors and physical guys that basically turn these guys into just huge specimen of men. So he will build, he will grow into his body. And for being a playmaker, he really does like scoring goals. When he scores a goal, he goes off like it's his first ever. So he is a goal scorer too, but he usually puts the puck on other guys' sticks to get some goals, but you will get goals out of him. And then we'll go to 13. We'll skip ahead quite a few picks and go to Vegas' second pick, Nick Suzuki. what do you think of Suzuki in Vegas?
Well, he gives him another option at center. He's, you know, we've talked about him before. He's labeled as undersized, but he's short. He's not a small player. He's just short. But he's pretty strong, and he's got a super high compete level, and he's like a dog on the bone with the puck sometimes. Determined. I think he's a little bit of an underrated player, and I think they got really good value with picking him at 13 in this draft.
I really like how they went back-to-back centermen. They're basically setting up their centermen for years to come, and that's what they really needed to do with being an expansion team. They did get some centermen in the expansion draft, but no one of the caliber of Nick Suzuki or Cody Glass. They're going to fill in the 1-2-3 spot wherever they fit in, if they end up getting more centermen in drafts to come or free agents. But yeah, these two guys are going to be cornerstones of this franchise.
Yeah, and so the guy they picked at 15 too.
Yeah, so let's go on to 15. A defenseman, they ended up going for a stalwart defenseman, Erik Brännström. Not a very big kid, but man, this guy can move the puck at ease.
Yeah, yeah. You should listen to our Swedish episode with McKean scout Jimmy Hammerin. He watched him play a lot last year, live in Sweden, and he thought he was arguably better than Miro Heiskanen, who went third overall. So getting Brännström at 15 is just a size thing. But I think the NHL has learned that you can be a small player and succeed in the NHL these days if you're exceptionally good at skating and can move the puck. And that's exactly what Brännström does. So again, I think that's a really good value pick.
Yeah, would you rank him like third in fantasy and defenseman rankings?
I would. Yeah, well, third or fourth. I think Liljegren gets a really bad rap, and again, listen to our Swedish episode for more on that. And we'll talk about him when he comes up with the Leafs pick. But yeah, he's right there. He is not far behind in my rankings for Heiskanen and Makar.
Excellent. All right, let's go back to some head scratching draft picking from the New York Rangers. We're going to go back up to 7 just after the Golden Knights took Glass. The Rangers went with Elias Anderson. Where did this come from?
Well, I thought it was a reach, and for a fantasy draft, this is going to be a good example of someone who looks at the NHL drafting list and sees, ooh, Elias Anderson, top 10 pick, 7th overall. The Rangers have no prospects. This is great. Yeah, that's all true, and he is a very safe pick. His probability of making it to the Rangers in a couple of years is high. He's a very good all-around two-way player. He just, I don't think he's 7th overall kind of material, and he's certainly not in that range for a fantasy draft. You certainly want to take a bunch of other players way before him. I had him ranked 17th overall in my NHL rankings. And so did most of the prospect experts and scouts that I spoke to tonight. They all thought that was a little high, but it's a safe pick. So it doesn't have... He'll make it to the NHL and he'll play, so it won't be like, oh, they drafted a guy and he never made it. But you'll look at some of the other players that were picked a little after him and you'll think, yeah, Anderson made it, but he's not as good as the guy that got picked in the teens. So I thought it was a stretch. They might even have been able to get him with their second pick at 21.
And he's a centerman, correct?
He's versatile. He could play both.
Okay. I kind of thought maybe they got the safe pick, Elias Anderson, because they moved Derek Stepan out, and this was the pick that they got from Arizona for moving Stepan and Ranta over to the Coyotes. But
he's not ready.
He's not ready?
No, you couldn't step in the NHL right now. I'd be shocked if he did.
Okay, good to know. All right, let's fly through a couple of these, and we'll get down to... we'll stop at 16, so we'll go 8. Buffalo picked Casey Middlestep. Pretty decent pick. They're stocking their cupboard quite a bit, and he was a...
Although they really need
they really need defense. I mean, I was really torn on this spot. I thought Mittelstadt would have been picked at 5 or maybe 6. So I was surprised to see Mittelstadt drop to 8. And then when Buffalo was on deck, I was like, oh man, these guys need a defense so bad. But it was a bit of a reach to take a defenseman like Brännström, for example, or Vesalainen at this pick, or sorry, Valimaki. I thought Liljegren would have been a really good pick right here for Buffalo, but I can't argue with Mittelstadt. He's the real deal.
Yeah, I think if Mittelstadt wasn't on the board, if like Pettersson was there or maybe Glass, I'm pretty sure they would have went with a defenseman and maybe reached on Liljegren, but Mittelstadt is just great value there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then Detroit at 9 picked Michael Rasmussen. Decent pick. He's a big kid.
He is, and if you look at his stat line, it's pretty good, but I don't think he scored a lot of 5-on-5, and I don't think many of his assists were of the primary variety. There's a lot of concerns with some of the more reputable scouts with Rasmussen. He's a player that, if, I think for the untrained eye, he passes the smell test. But some other scouts and prospect experts weren't as enthusiastic about him as the consensus rankings. So I was a little surprised to see him go as high as he did to a team that I think does a really good job of drafting and identifying talent. So Rasmussen is a real polarizing player. And for him to be in the top 10, I thought was not alarming, but, you know, raised my eyebrow. Interesting.
All right, and then to 10, Florida picked Owen Tippett. 11, L.A. picked Gabe Vilardi. Fell to L.A., which is a pretty nice value there to get Vilardi at 11.
Huge.
12, Carolina took Martin Nakash, which we kind of thought Carolina would take Nakash for some odd reason. It just seemed like a good fit.
Yeah, that's right about where I had him ranked. That's par for the course, yeah.
And then 13, we talked about Nick Suzuki going to Vegas. 14, the run of D started. Tampa Bay started the run with Kalen Foote, Adam Foote's son. Kind of weird. Yzerman picked, drafted Adam Foote's son when they had that great rivalry, Colorado and Detroit. But yeah, that was cool to see.
Yeah, I thought it was a great pick. I think he's again, a player who might not have great fantasy upside. He's got some offensive upside. He's not just a glass and out defenseman. He can carry the puck up the ice. He's got a good hard shot on the point. He can run a power play. Maybe not first unit power play, but you know, he's got offensive skills. So he's the kind of player I think you win championships with on your defense. A guy you can put out in any situation when you need a goal or when you need to protect the lead. In important minutes, you turn to your meat and potatoes defenseman, and that's Kalfoot.
All right, and then 15, Vegas went with Brännström, who we already covered when we talked about Glass and Suzuki and Brännström. Calgary went with Juuso Välimäki, and then Toronto went Timothy Liljegren, and Boston finished off the D run with Juho Väkänainen. But when we come back, Peter, we're going to dig deep into Toronto's 17th overall pick, Timothy Liljegren. All right, time to talk about Toronto's 17th overall pick, Timothy Liljegren. How did he fall this low, Peter?
That's a real good question. And I think the quick response is, oh, well, he had a terrible season. You look at his stats and, you know, he had mono and he had another injury and blah, blah, blah. But I think the real underlying reason for why he dropped is he made some questionable decisions with the puck in the defensive zone when flat out bad. So there's a lot of questions about his hockey sense. But I don't think you would hold against him the fact that he had mono. And again, referencing our Swedish episode with Jimmy, he talked about how he had limited minutes playing in the SHL on a team facing relegation. And you know, he's playing pro hockey and he's a 17-year-old kid. So he made some mistakes. That happens. But what he does do very well is he's got really great skill, skates very, very well, able to carry the puck in transition, get it up to the forwards and all that. You know, his job will be get the puck in the defensive zone and give it to Austin Matthews or Mitch Marner or Nylander, and that's going to work out real well.
Yeah, they finally have a guy, a playmaking defenseman that is known for being a playmaking defenseman. Yeah, Morgan Riley can do it, and Jake Gardner can do it, but they're not great at it. And I'm pretty sure Liljegren's going to show that he's great at moving the puck out of the zone.
Yeah, at this time last year, he was, you know, second overall ranked prospect for this draft behind Nolan Patrick. So basically at 17, the Leafs get a lottery pick.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, everyone, all the scouts and prospect experts that I spoke to, Mike Agello from Buffalo, he walked by and he was like, thumbs up, great pick by the Leafs. Yeah, so I think the Leafs really hit a home run here at 17.
Yeah, and Sam Constantino made a comment when he interviewed him at the Combine that Liljegren really wanted to point out that he came back from mono far too early. He tried to force himself back because of his draft position was top five, top three at that time, and he came back far too early to try and force his way back into the game so he could show off to the scouts that he was capable of playing, and he just came back from mono way too early, and it ended up really hurting his draft stock when it came down to it.
Yeah, and his World Junior ticket too.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's move on to Boston, the final defenseman in the 5-5D draft run. Juro Vaakanainen for Boston Bruins finished off the 18th pick. 19 was San Jose Josh Norris. Really climbed up the draft ladder after the Combine, and normally the Combine doesn't do much for draft stock, but Josh Norris kind of killed the draft Combine, so kind of expected that he came up. I think it was a little high, and San Jose reached for him a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. Well, he's certainly a prospect that's on the rise, and that started well before the Combine. He has looked very good for Team USA, and you know, he's the kind of player that you could put out in all kinds of situations. There's not a whole lot of holes in his game, I don't think. I haven't seen him as much as Kev here has. We should probably get him on the podcast to talk about him. But I don't think it was a very long reach. I think the pick that comes up at 21 by the Rangers is a much longer of a reach, and we'll get to that. But yeah, I think the scouting combine definitely gave him a boost. And if he's trending up this hard, as long as he can keep it up, this might actually be a really good pick by San Jose.
All right, and then we'll go to 20th pick, St. Louis Blues. Their first pick of the two picks they have in the first round. Robert Thomas from the London Knights is a pretty decent pick.
Yep, he's a really good, speedy, fast playmaking center. Plays a really good two-way, defensively responsible game. He's got a very projectable NHL career ahead of him. We'll talk a little bit more about St. Louis in a bit too, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Let's go to 21 New York Rangers, the guy you were talking about, Philip Hetil, 21st overall. That's a bit of a stretch. You're right.
Yeah, I think, you know, the Rangers had the 7th overall pick and two picks in the first round in this draft, and they really needed that. Their prospect pool is thin. They've traded away a lot of draft picks in recent years, making runs for Stanley Cups, which is fine. It didn't work out, and that's fine too. You gotta try, right? So their first pick was a really nice safe pick in Elias Anderson. And then their second pick is a little bit more of a gamble. I had a chance to catch up with Steve Karyanos after the draft, and he talks a little bit about him, I think. So I haven't seen too much of him, but I think it's safe to say that he was maybe a first-round pick in the last couple of slots, but more likely a second-round pick on a lot of people's lists. So, yeah, the Rangers jumped up to pick him here.
maybe the Rangers aren't used to having first round picks, and they were like, "Oh, these are just second round picks. We'll just treat them like second round picks," and that's what they did because they haven't had a first round pick in a long time.
This is true.
All right, let's move on to the 22nd overall pick. Edmonton Oilers had that pick, and they picked Kaylor Yamamoto, tiny little Kaylor Yamamoto. What do you think of this kid?
I love him. He's got tremendous offensive upside. If he were 6 feet tall, there's no way he would have made it past seven. You know what else is really interesting? Ryan Wagner from McKean's pointed this out at the draft. Connor McDavid played junior in Erie, scored a whole lot of points with a nice little tiny winger that was able to keep up with him, and that worked out real well, and that was Alex DeBrincat. And Kaylor Yamamoto and Alex DeBrincat are pretty similar players. I think the two of them are going to get along just well together. And I tweeted out at the draft, you know, go out and draft Kaylor Yamamoto in your fantasy league right now. I don't think he'll play in the NHL this year. He's going to go back to junior for another year at least. But when he gets there, he's probably going to be riding shotgun with a guy like either Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl. And look out, he's going to be dynamite.
Yeah, and he was actually taught how to skate by Tyler Johnson's mother. So he hung out with Tyler Johnson quite a bit. So he's learning how to play the game as a small guy from Tyler Johnson, who's done a pretty decent job of playing NHL as a small guy. So
he is a really small guy.
And that's pretty impressive. So Kaylor Yamamoto, look out for him. He's going to be near the top of my fantasy draft list.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to number 23, Arizona picked Pierre-Olivier Joseph, Matthew Joseph's younger brother. What do you think of this kid?
He's another guy that has been shooting up the draft charts in the second half of the season. And I think it's a really good organizational need for Arizona. They just traded away Anthony DeAngelo. So they've got a lot of good young D on their team, but not a lot coming down the pipe. So I think this is a wise move by them, and they're very good at drafting and assessing and evaluating talent. So yeah, and I think he's going to play a style of game that translates well to the NHL, the way that it's played by defense these days too.
Yeah, and you spoke about the trade, the DeAngelo trade. We're going to talk about the prospects that moved, not on this episode because we want to focus on the first round. There's a lot to talk about. We will do it in our second round to seventh round podcast tomorrow when we record again. So we'll make sure to cover all the guys that moved in trades as well. 24th overall, Winnipeg selected Christian Vesalainen. I thought he fell a little far. I thought he was going to be in the 15-16 range, but Vesalainen landing in Winnipeg is going to help him, and it's going to help the Jets as well, because Vesalainen could flank Mark Scheifele alongside Patrick Laine. So two Finns with a Canadian, and that is going to be a deadly line. So I think Vesalainen can feed off of Patrick Laine and feed Patrick Laine the puck as well, and I think it's going to work out really nice for Vesalainen's game a year or two down the road.
Yeah, I thought Winnipeg was going to go with the defenseman in this spot, because speaking of teams that don't have a lot coming down the pipe, that's the Winnipeg Jets. I thought maybe Nicholas Hägg would be a really nice fit for them here, but they chose to go with big Christian Vesalainen, and he was ranked a little bit higher on my list than 24th overall, so he fell a little bit. I guess they felt like, you know, he's clearly the best player available, so they couldn't pass on him, and it is hard to argue with that logic with this pick.
Yeah, and they interviewed Vesalainen after he got picked, and he was giddy knowing that he was going to have a chance to play with Patrick Laine, his countryman, so that he's going to work hard to make it to the NHL next year or the year after. 25th, Montreal selected Ryan Poling. 26th, Dallas moved up and leapfrogged St. Louis. It was talked about on Sportsnet tonight on the broadcast that St. Louis was keying in on Jake Oettinger for their goalie prospect depth, and Dallas must have caught wind of that, and they jumped over and ended up taking Jake Ottinger. So that's really going to help out their prospect depth, because they got nothing in the prospect cupboard for goaltending.
Yeah, I like the pick. I had DiPietro as my number one goalie. Maybe that's just biased because I was really blown away by his Memorial Cup. But yeah, Ottinger's a great goalie. He's absolutely a future franchise starting goalie kind of material. So, hey, if you're sold on him and you want him, you just trade up and get your guy.
And how excited would you be if Vegas went and filled their goaltending depth with DiPietro at 34?
That would be a great pick.
That'd be awesome, because they would get their two centers, a defenseman, and then a goalie. I think that would set their franchise up pretty nicely, and I would be super excited, because DiPietro is definitely my number one goalie, and I'm keying in on him, targeting him in every one of my drafts as much as I can. So, yeah, that would be exciting. All right, Philadelphia ended up moving up and trading Braden Schenn, and we'll get into it a little deeper when we talk about the trades tomorrow, but Philadelphia ended up taking Morgan Frost with that pick that they moved up with. So yeah, there's pretty decent left winger.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a nice player, good speedy player, playmaker. Not ranked in first round on a lot of draft lists though. So again, this is a bit of a reach.
Yeah. And the fact that they got that spot for trading Braden Schenn and then they end up reaching, it kind of makes you wonder if they're so keen on him. I don't really understand that.
Neither do I.
All right. 28, Ottawa took Shane Bowers. 29, Chicago brought out their two boys that they drafted third and first overall, Taves and Kane. Kind of a weird moment. At least the guys are decent speakers. They can actually talk and get a crowd going. And they introduced taking Henry Jokiharju. What do you think of Jokiharju's game?
Yeah, so he had a really good showing at the top prospect game that I was at in Quebec. Carries the puck up the ice real well. I was kind of surprised with this pick, actually. At the start of the year, I had him ranked in my first round, and then he fell off my list for my final rankings. But he would be right near the top of my second round. So we're talking 29th overall right now. So it's, you know, it's kind of splitting hairs, really. And the Hawks have a lot of forward prospects despite trading Tyler Mott. They still got a whole bunch. So they could use the help on defense.
All right. And then 30th overall, Nashville ends up getting Ely Tolvanen. And they kind of just find these guys that are really nice goal scorers. And I think him and Fiala being put together might be a fun little pairing that they'll end up using in 2 or 3 years, because Tolvanen's got quite a shot.
Wait. The Nashville Predators were in an NHL draft with a first-round pick, and they didn't take a defenseman?
And they even talked, I think it was Friedman talked to, what's his name? Poyle.
David Poyle.
Yeah, Elliot Friedman was talking to Poyle and asking what happened with taking a defenseman. And he's like, you know, we got four pretty good defensemen that carried us to the Stanley Cup finals, and I didn't want to trade any of those guys away, and I figured I don't really need any right now. So he ended up going with a winger. So it was kind of funny that they actually asked him that question, that he didn't take a defenseman in the first round. And I think he did pretty well with right winger Tolvanen.
Yeah. Tolvanen is arguably the best goal scorer in the draft. And the league is starved for goal scoring. So I thought he would have. He's a player that the people I was standing with the draft, and we were like, wow, Tolvanen's still not gone. When is someone going to take Tolvanen? This has got to be it, right? You know, nope. A bunch of players dropped in this draft, and Tolvanen is probably one of the biggest fallers. And interesting bit of news that he was committed to Boston College to play next season, and he was not accepted for academic reasons. The Oshawa Generals own his CHL junior rights, but he said that he'll play in either the AHL or the NHL or Europe next year. So it doesn't look good for Oshawa. But that's an interesting turn of events.
Yeah, do you think that hurts his fantasy stock at all?
No, not really.
No, because it might even help if he ends up making NHL right away, because they don't want him to take off to Europe. So, and maybe they don't think he's ready for AHL. It'll be interesting to follow. I thought he would. I didn't hear that he wouldn't go back to high school, but I thought he would have went back to high school and got all his credits and tried again at BU. But what you're saying, it doesn't sound like that's an option for him.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and then our final pick, the 31st pick, the first round 31 overall pick because of Vegas coming into the league. So 31 overall, St. Louis ended up making a trade, Ryan Reeves for this pick and a couple other picks, and Oscar Sundqvist, which we will talk about in tomorrow's podcast with all the trades. Klim Kostin, he kind of fell here, but it was, some people were expecting him to fall. Other people were expecting him to be top 10 because Sportsnet had him in the green room in behind the stage. So he had quick access to get there quickly because they thought he was going to be a top 10 pick. He fell all the way to 31. What do you think, Peter?
Okay, so he's a really polarizing player. I had a chance to watch him play one time this year in the Canada-Russia Super Series that they play every year, and I wasn't really impressed. He didn't play very well. So he's a player that I wanted to do a little research on, and I had a chance on Thursday to spend some time with Hockey Prospect Radio, Shane Malloy and Russ Cohen and Ainsley Scott, and these guys had a chance to watch him play at the World Junior A and in a couple other tournaments too, and not just this year, but the year before. So they're really familiar with him, and I haven't really seen him play at all. You look at his stat line from this season, and it's terrible. And then he got injured, and he missed half of the season, or more, whatever it was. So he didn't play very many games. They love his game. They think that he's an absolute NHL player, and he could be one of the more NHL-ready players in the draft. They cited things like his hands, his playmaking ability, his size, his skating. It's all very good. So I asked them about, you know, the Russian factor. Is that a problem? And they said that they didn't think that it was. But I can't think of any other reason why he would have fallen so far down the draft. And speaking with Nick Kiprios, he kind of alluded to the Russian factor a little bit. And he's like, you know, why else would he fall down so low? That's a fair question. So I think he's a bit of a risk-reward pick. Not that he's not going to pan out, just not that he's not going to come to the NHL. But yesterday in the media interviews, he did say that he'd play next season in either the AHL or the NHL or Russia. But his first two choices were the NHL and the AHL. So he's prepared to come to North America, but he just doesn't want to play junior. And that's fair. I mean, he's a big, super talented kid, so that makes sense that he wants to challenge himself and play in a higher level.
So what do you suggest you do in fantasy? How do you handle this? Do you just let somebody else take that burden, and by all means, good luck, have fun with the risk, and you might get the reward, but the risk might be too much? Like, what do you think, what would you do with Klim Kostin?
Me personally?
Yeah.
I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah, you'd stay immediately away from him?
Yeah, well, yeah, because I've had some bad luck with Russian players in the hockey pools. Either them not coming over or coming over and kind of flaming out. I'm just leery about it. I'd want to see him come over first and see how he does. It's just, I'd rather, if I want to take a risk-reward player, I'd probably rather take a guy like Rasmussen. I know at least he's going to
play in North America. And whether or not he pans out or not remains to be seen. But yeah, I mean, and it depends on your team and your situation and your appetite for risk. Because the payoff is huge, and I have a lot of confidence and faith in the opinions of the people I spoke to this weekend that spoke very highly of him, and that they said they wouldn't hesitate to take him with a top five pick.
Yeah, it's tough because, yeah, he falls to 31, so there's got to be something wrong. There's a lot of teams that skipped over him, but then you get scouts that see him all the time, and like you know how they scout and what they're like, and they say top five, and it's like, man, like I'm staying away from him. I don't care how good he is. He could turn into an Alex Ovechkin or Evgeny Malkin. Good on you for taking the risk. I'm going to stay away from it. I can find talent elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a much later pick in your draft, okay, sure. Like, you know, Pavel Datsyuk was a 6th-round pick, something like that, right? So if you're going to, you know, it's not really wasting a pick because 6th-round picks, like, what, 3% of them pan out into NHL players?
Yeah, some
irrelevant, minuscule amount. So you might as well swing for the fences in that situation, but that's after you've loaded yourself up with more surefire, reliable assets.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, Peter, when we come back from the break, you're going to catch up with Steve Kornianos at the draft, talking to some of the players that fell and some people that weren't on his list that got picked. So that's when we come back. Oh, baby, don't you want to go back to that same old place, sweet home Chicago. Welcome back to Dauber Prospects Radio. Peter caught up with Steve Kornianos from the Draft Analyst podcast. You can find Steve at the Draft Analyst on Twitter and thedraftanalyst.com. Take it away, Peter.
All right, first round of the draft's over. I met up with my good buddy Steve Kornianos from the Draft Analyst, and we're going to have a quick chat about some of the players that he thought went way high or way low compared to where he had them. How's it going, Steve? Welcome back to the show.
Good to be back. I missed, obviously, picks 1 through 4, so I got into the party a little late, but, traffic, what are you going to do?
The draft didn't start until 5 anyways, right? Like the first 4 picks were pretty predictable, in my opinion.
Yeah.
All right, so looking at your list here, I think the first guy we got that fell down a little bit, Gabriel Vilardi. He went 11th overall. I thought that was way low. I had him in the next 2 or 3 picks after the top 4 there. What'd you think of that?
Well, I had Vilardi ranked at 11, and he got picked at 11. But in my mock draft, I had him going 4 or 5. Only because, listen, everybody had him ranked around that area, and I just thought that teams would be impressed with not only the size and the skill, but also that he's almost a late birth date. He's only, I think, a few weeks from 2018 eligibility. So I thought the whole package was something that would be enticing. But, you know, all season long, we've been talking about his skating limitations, how he looks kind of awkward and he's gangly and doesn't have really good straight line speed. And I have a feeling that's the reason what turned teams off of him. But the Kings get a guy. I think they need just skill up and down their lineup, and they need to get younger as well. So I think it was a good pick for them, but a bit of a surprise that he slipped all the way down to 11 from a mock draft standpoint. But listen, I ranked them somewhere around there because I thought teams would get scared by skating.
Yeah, skating is huge. Okay, let's go down to the Leafs got Timothy Liljegren, kind of a lottery pick player there if you consider where he was at this time last year. He was right behind Nolan Patrick.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about him a couple times on the podcast, how it's unfair that he got knocked because of mono and playing on a substandard team in the SHL to avoid relegation. What do you think? Do you think he's going to fit in well with the Leafs?
Well, here's the thing. Yeah, he's a great fit. The Leafs definitely could use a dynamic puck mover. I know they have Travis Dermott, and you know the hopes are pretty high on him. He had a really good season in the AHL. Liljegren is a kind of a similar player, but he, like I said, he's younger, played against men. The one thing that worried me about Liljegren was that, yes, he had mono, and it took him a while to get his timing and his strength back. But some of the mistakes he was making really aren't mono-related. You know, we're talking about decision-making, puck management, positioning, things like that. So if you just look at his skating and his shot power and the way he could quarterback a power play, the way he could, you know, make cross-ice passes, passes through seams, passes through clogged passing lanes, things like that. I mean, you look at all the firepower the Leafs have assembled. I mean, even if he's maybe a second-pairing guy, a support guy, but a guy that runs the power play, or at least the second guy on the power play, you're looking at a great pick.
Someone that can get the puck to the forwards.
Oh, absolutely.
Let them do their thing.
Skating and shooting are his two strengths. So, I mean, listen, you could teach a kid positioning. You can't teach him some of the things that he has. So, great pick overall.
All right, let's move to the back end. Maybe work our way up a little bit. Klim Kostin, the very last pick player. So I was talking to the Hockey Prospect Radio guys, and they're all thinking he's a top five talent.
Yeah.
They like him a lot. Yeah. You had him ranked, I think that's an 8 overall.
Yeah.
Is it a Russian factor thing? Is that what's at play here?
Well, it shouldn't be because he said that he's coming over to North America. I think he's done with Russia. You know, I know he's not going to play for Kootenay, who had him they made him the first overall pick at the import draft.
He said yesterday to the media that he'll play in either the AHL or the NHL next year.
Yeah. So the Russian factor shouldn't be a problem. And my problem with teams passing on him that late is because he healed up enough in enough time to return back and go to the combine. He did pretty well at the combine, at least enough to show that his shoulder was pretty healthy. It seems like they afforded a guy like Mike Rasmussen different, I guess, set of standards. Okay, so he's a guy that also missed the same amount of time as Kostin did, but teams overlooked that. Now, did he bomb at interviews? I don't know. I mean, you look at the skill set, you look at the power and the speed and the playmaking and the vision and things like that, tenacity. I'm really surprised in a draft that we consider to be somewhat thin. I'm surprised he went that late. But listen, he's going to have a chip on his shoulder. I know a lot of people say that. Like, I'm going to pay them back for passing on me. But he's a kid I thought was easily a top 10 pick.
It's a swing for the fence pick right there if there ever was one, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. And just before him, Eli Tolvanen, one of the best goal scorers in the draft, probably between him and Tippett and Yamamoto.
Yeah.
He falls all the way to 30. You had him ranked at 6.
Yes.
I don't think size is an issue. I think the NHL is past that. Is that a skating thing?
I think skating is slightly above average. I mean, he's not an average skater, but he's not a speed demon. I think the issues with him might have been combine related. He didn't have that great of a postseason. Sioux City was like the top dog in the USHL in the regular season, and he wasn't all that great. And he had a lot of periods of inconsistency during the year. In addition to that, he wasn't very good at the World Junior Championships, but then again, not a whole lot of people on Finland were. And then he came to the combine, and he didn't look like he was in that great of shape. Now, I wasn't there. I can only go by what I saw on film and what other people were tweeting at the time. And then throw into that the fact that he decommitted from Boston College because his grades weren't up to snuff. And I just found that out tonight. You know, so like someone tweeted at me like, hey, he's not going to BC.
Yeah.
So I think all those factors, you might have maybe a little bit of a character, work ethic type thing going on. Maybe that's why he fell. Bottom line is, look, he's got the best shot in the draft. I mean, you're right. It's between he and Tippett in terms of goal-scoring ability. But in terms of shot power and shooting off the pass, no one can compare to Tolvanen. But I'm surprised. You know, goal-starved league and the best goal scorer, one of the best goal scorers in the draft, goes all the way down to
30.
The late first round, 30. Yeah. So.
All right, man. Well, that was a lot of fun, to say the least. Very exciting.
Interesting.
I'm looking forward to doing this all again tomorrow, bud.
Tomorrow's going to be bananas.
Talk to you then.
All right, man.
That's it for round one in the NHL entry draft. Saturday, rounds 2 through 7 will be completed, and Peter and I will be back after the entry draft has finished Saturday night, and we'll post it probably late Saturday night. Please make sure to give us a follow on Twitter at @DPR_show. You can also follow our personal accounts at @Zwanbag and @PHarling. That's it for now. Talk to you soon, Peter.
Cheers.